Let us turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and I shall read the first 11 verses. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Amen. The title of this evening's message is Squandering on Jesus. I'd like to have you take a look at this woman this evening, a woman who was highly praised by Christ, a woman who was highly commended. And it's recorded in Matthew, which we had read, that what good she had done would be recorded and would be preached of wherever the gospel was sounded. And this would be a memorial for her. And we find out that this lady is Mary of Bethany, as we read in John chapter 12. She was the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus, whom the Lord had raised from the dead. And most likely, Simon the leper, in verse 6 of Matthew 26, was her father. Mary, of course, is no stranger to us. Before this incident, she had already been highly praised by our Lord. Let us take a look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38, which reads, Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So here, Mary has already been seen, and she was commended by our Lord for sitting at his feet and adoring him. So we learn about her spiritual desire. But more than that, we can learn several lessons from this passage. Now we learn that Mary came to Jesus with an alabaster box containing a pound of very precious spikenard ointment. And we read that the ointment was exceeding costly. And what did she do with it? We learn from Matthew's gospel that she poured the ointment on Jesus' head, and from John's gospel that she anointed his feet, after which she used her hair to wipe them. Now, we want to consider first, what is spikenard and what makes it so costly? Now, according to the traditions and customs of the Jews at that time, a lady would spend a lot of money. Well, firstly, she would have to save up all her money from the time she reached puberty to the time that she would get married. And all that money that she had, she would use to buy perfumed ointment with which she would anoint her husband on the night of their wedding. And such an act was symbolic of a woman's greatest love for her husband. Mary, like every other Jewish woman, had bought ointment intended for her wedding. However, she used this ointment instead on Christ. Now, just a side note here, her father, Simon, was a leper, and most likely, because she lived in that household, she may have been considered unclean, and probably no man would have wanted her, right? Well, I don't know. I'm just ascertaining from what I understand. But with the ointment that she had, instead of giving it to her future husband, she gave it to Christ. And this showed how deeply she loved the Lord. The fact that it was made of spikenard also shows the extent of her love for Christ. Of course, she could have chosen any other ointment, myrrh, frankincense, other oils that she could use. But she chose instead to use spikenard. And we learn from Scripture that spikenard was a very fragrant, a very expensive ointment, an ointment so expensive that only usually kings and queens could afford it. In the Song of Solomon, the allusion to spikenard in chapter 1, verse 12, attributes to this perfume its royal status. It's a perfume used by the rich, and the reason why it was so expensive was because it had to be sourced all the way from the foothills of the Himalayas. And it took many, many pounds of spikenard roots just to distill an ounce of ointment. And on top of that, transport costs all the way through the mountains and through the desert, all the way to Israel. It would have impounded the cost. And the Bible says it was worth 300 pence or denarii. And according to some Bible scholars, this amount was as much as what a laborer would earn in 1 year. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he fed 5,000 people. And according to Mark 6:37, the disciples asked the Lord, "How shall we feed these people? How shall we get 300? Shall we get three, or rather, should we get 200 penny worth of bread to feed them?" So the disciples evidently thought that 200 pence was enough to feed 5,000 people. Well, this gives us an idea of how much 300 pence would be. If we were to calculate, let's say, 3 pounds a person, and if you were to feed 5,000 people, it would be about 15,000 pounds. If you were to extrapolate that by another 50%, it would be close to, or if not slightly more than, 20,000 pounds. And this was what it was worth. No wonder the Bible says that it was very, very costly. And we can see here, no wonder the disciples regarded it as a waste, that Mary used such expensive perfume and squandered it all on Christ. Matthew records for us the response of the disciples. John records for us the response of Judas Iscariot. We read in Matthew 26, verse 8, that the disciples murmured amongst themselves, and they said it was a waste. John 12, verses 4 to 5, told us that Judas Iscariot made a similar remark. What does it mean to waste? What does it mean to squander? Well, a waste is if you use too much effort to do something that requires little effort. Or you were to pay too much money for something that costs significantly less than what you paid for it, you would consider that a waste. You're squandering money away. So waste in this context means paying or spending too much for a small thing. Now that would mean, at that time, the disciples thought that it was a waste. It was squandering to spend so much money on the Lord. The Lord was not worth it to them. You see, even though it was customary to anoint the head of a guest, it would be strange to anoint him with a whole pound of ointment. Now, the Roman pound was about 12 ounces, smaller than the 16 ounces of today's pound. And a flask would normally contain not more than an ounce. So Mary, who had a pound, was really quite extravagant, even to the point of anointing someone's feet. With such ointment, you would only anoint the head. But with such ointment, even Mary thought it was worth it to anoint the feet of Christ. And it was not customary to do this either. Only water was used for the feet. Now, furthermore, such ointment would have been, you could say, considered a family heirloom. Its fragrance was preserved by sealing it in alabaster. And alabaster was a favored container for perfume because it retained the essence. But once the flask was broken, its contents could only be used once with their full freshness. That is why the disciples thought it was a waste. In a time when there were great numbers of landless and tenant farming peasants, they thought that such perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. So let's take a look at their attitudes, first from the angle of Judas Iscariot, and thereafter from the disciples. Now we know that Judas Iscariot was never a true believer. He was a person of the world. He did not love Christ. He represented, well, you could say, an unbeliever, a false believer, a professing believer alone, who thought that anything done for Christ is a waste. Now, this attitude of the world, well, it should not surprise us. But here we take a look at the views of the disciples, since their views affect us more than the views of Judas. And Matthew 26, verse 8 records for us what they said. And unfortunately, they thought exactly the same way as Judas. They not only spoke against Mary's anointing of Jesus, they were also very angry with her. Their attitude is the same as many of us. It's the same with many of us, where we become angry or uncomfortable with those who are around us for spending too much of their time and too much of their effort on Christ. Most believers, this is not a judgment, this is an observation, and oftentimes I'm guilty of it myself, we do too little for Christ and we expect so much more. We believe that a simple prayer before a meal or prayer at the end of the day is sufficient. We believe that coming to the Lord's house on the Sabbath for 1 or 2 hours is sufficient. This is not to say I'm a great advocate of being involved in so many church activities you have no time for anything else. I'm not an advocate of that at all. But I'm talking about a heart desire for Christ and spending time considering Him and worshiping Him and serving Him by loving people. We often just do our little parts and we think that is sufficient. And we become uncomfortable with those who do more. See, all of us, in one way, we acknowledge that all good gifts come from above, that all the blessings that we have in our lives, we have received from God. We know this. But when we are asked to return something to God, be it our time, our effort, and God forbid I should ever mention tithe, right, or many other things, we are unwilling to give of our best. And we often give to God what is convenient to us. And oftentimes, we give to God those things which are substandard. Is it so wrong? I know this is an emotional blackmail, and I don't intend it to be such. Christ has done so much for us. What can we give to Him? Some people think that statement is unfair, and it is at times unfair. And often it is used to elicit participation in church activities, the giving of tithes. And that is something that is necessary at times to preach. But the focus that I'm trying to put here is our heart attitude. I'm not trying to get everyone here to be as Marthas and to be involved in so many activities and not to have that attitude of Martha. I'm sure there are many of you who are serving very, very hard and you're wondering why other people aren't serving as they should be. That was the attitude of Martha. That is not what I'm trying to elicit. But it is the attitude of Mary who sat at the feet, the weightier matters, loving one another, serving one another, coming to church and worshiping the Lord. And naturally, that would translate to serving a bit more, getting your hands into it. But I digress. So we see here the attitude of the disciples, the attitude of Judas. But what then should our attitude be? Naturally, we should not be affected by what Judas said or by what these worldly disciples said. Listen to what Christ said. He said to them, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye the woman?" We should stand firm, those of us who love the Lord, and not be troubled by what others say or think. Like Mary, we should love to be left alone with the Lord, to serve Him. And we pray and ought to pray that the Lord would open our eyes so that we can really see and know that Christ is worth all our love. And nothing spent on Him could be considered squandering. Perhaps you're tired in your service and you wish, like Martha, that others would help. God give grace to you. And He has given grace. Let your expectations be upon Him. Perhaps you're coming to church weekly. Consider, what more can you do? Mary did not care what others said or thought. The Lord's approval was above all. She anointed the feet of Jesus, and she did so humbly. Mary used her long hair. You could say her glory, as 1 Corinthians 11 puts it, the glory of a woman is her hair. And she used her long hair to wipe Jesus' feet. She kissed them. So what can we learn from this? Well, not only should we give to Christ our time and devotion, we should also give to Him our best, our glory. Jesus had 12 disciples. Well, one was a false disciple, and the other 11 at that time were fairly worldly. However, the real disciple in the story here was Mary. All of us here are disciples of Christ because we follow Him. And let us make sure that there are none here who are false disciples. And let us make sure we are not worldly disciples. But to make sure we are like Mary, a true and faithful disciple who considered it not a waste to squander all on Christ, using that which was her best to serve. So what do we have then to squander on Jesus? We have our time. We have our effort. And I know I sound probably like a broken record. People leaving. People going away. Yet the Lord is good, and He's sending people here. We're not sure of the future for the ministry of this church, if the Lord indeed will send a full-time minister. Yes, all of us would love to be ministered to, a minister to visit us, who will expound the word to us, who will comfort us. But have we thought of comforting others? A simple phone call. It's not necessarily taking on the responsibility of an entire ministry. What can we do? The time that is allotted to us, the effort, and even our substance. Let me delve slightly more into the character of Mary here. She rendered to Christ two things. Firstly, her substance. Secondly, her service. Now, we know that Mary was a person who adored Christ and one who was not afraid to spend a year's wages on Him. However, we also know that she was a disciple who had great wisdom and knowledge by Christ's words. She served Christ and gave what she had to Him because she knew that He was about to die. That is why she anointed Him. Christ said, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. The ointment, against the day of my burial, has she kept this." You see, Christ had all along been talking about how He was going to die. When He said that to His disciples, what was their first response? Peter disbelieved Him, and he said, "No, Lord, You're not going to." And Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." But the only disciple, apparently, who had heard and understood was Mary. She was a splendid disciple. A splendid disciple, you could say, better than the other disciples. For when Christ had revealed this fact to them, many times did they rebuke Him and disbelieve Him. But not Mary. She knew Christ's words and believed them. And that is why she anointed His feet. She might not have done it at that particular time had she not known about his impending death. So we ask ourselves, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. What He said in His word is that He'll be coming back very soon. What can we do for Him in this congregation, in the uncertain future? Is it to love one another? Is it to give of our time? Is it to do more than what we have done? And only the Lord can help us to answer that question. But we ought to give the very best to our Master. Let us close by singing, "Give of your best to the Master."